Fight presents.
Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet. My name is TK Trinidad, aka the Canadian Assassin, and I am not alone. I have an amazing co-host. She is the host and creator of Hardy Wrestling Podcast. Please welcome Stephanie Hardy.
Hey y'all, I'm so happy to be here with you, TK, and with our special guest this evening. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
Yes, today we have an amazing show, and of course it's all about our guests. She has been in the game for 17 years, y'all. You've seen her on WWE, you've seen her on AEW, you've seen her on Lucha Underground, and she's the three-time Shine Champion. Please welcome Eva Lise.
Hey, hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
Good. I mean, for you guys who are just
riding the wave. Riding the wave.
Definitely.
If you're just getting familiar with our show, Women's Wrestling Talk has been around for, about 4 years now. We've done previous interviews with Eva Lise, so we have a little bit of a history. So if you want kind of like a Wikipedia of Eva Lise, then you should go to our older interviews, because that's not what we're going to do right now. So kind of let's get into it. So you started wrestling when you were 15 years old. If you can talk to your younger self right now in this moment, what would you tell her about the wrestling world?
I would say that mostly everything is a little bit of a trigger for me right now when it comes to wrestling, but this is not that much. It's more like in a general sense. I would say that, because I know that young Eva Lise knew that it was going to be quite the task. But it doesn't compare to what it really has been at all. But I would say just hang on. In the end, it will be worth it. All the hard work will, one way or another, pay off. And it will be worth it.
All right. What are some of the greatest lessons that you've learned during your training?
I would say, because throughout my whole wrestling career, my biggest lessons have all been when it comes to the whole politicking, everything that surrounds politicking. That's always been my thing. I've always said it before, it's my Achilles, but not because I'm, you know, the negative that is mentioned about me, not because of that, because that's not true. It's because I believe in hard work over everything. And you know that politics has nothing to do with hard work. And I've always been a strong believer in working hard for your achievements and everything like that. And I just, it's been a really hard thing throughout my entire career to adjust to that. So I've done what I can, humanly possibly can, to at least learn enough of that to where I can just use it just to soothe whatever situation is going on, but not enough to where I couldn't feel myself, or I'd feel like I'm losing myself and my identity and what I stand for. So I would say those would be my biggest lesson in terms of that. Yeah.
So you said in like previous interviews that like you love the anti-hero characters. Do you think there's a correlation between your love of them and how you're portrayed in wrestling?
Yes. Yes. And the thing is I really love them because I understand them. It's almost kind of like that saying of like the bad guys or villains or whatever are just heroes that live long enough through everything just to see themselves be turned into the heel. But it's only because they've allowed themselves to see things for what they really are, the truth, the lens of truth, and not budget just to kind of fit a mold or whatever, you know.
Right.
So that's just kind of like they just stick, they're brave enough to just stand and stick with the truth and follow that path of truth, with which brings a lot more pain than anything else. Unfortunately, it's still crazy to me to see, but like I said, in the end, it's worth it. Like, I feel incredibly proud of everything I've done in my life, because I know it's been through utter hard work, and that there's no other feeling in the world knowing that. So that's just kind of like how I see it.
I know. I mean, if you think of like Thanos, right? Like, when yes. I watched it, I'm not like super Stephanie's eyes. I'm not super like, you know, comic book savvy, but when you think yes. of it, if you think from his perspective, like yes. in his mind, he thought like, I'm helping the world.
Yes.
You know, how he went about it, you know,
yes.
not the best way, but you know, I think, with him in that particular scenario, like, his intentions were like, I really want to help the world. Like, I don't want to yeah. take over, but you know, I when you're saying that, that's like the first character that I think of.
Yeah. And there's like a few other like characters in other movies too, that have a similar theme in terms of that. Like, for an example, I don't know if anyone's seen Hellboy, the Golden Army, like the prince that was exiled, but it's because he had a certain view, and that it wasn't fair the way everything was, and it was just feeding like the human selfishness, etc., blah blah blah. And he went through a lot, and a lot of rejection, and a lot of etc., but it's because he was willing to stand for what he believed was right, and was trying to do what was right, even though he had to eventually, you know, take unpopular or whatever measures or ways or whatever, but it was for the greater good or whatever. So yeah, stuff like that.
Or in the case of Killmonger from Black Panther, he was definitely yes. one of those
yeah.
villains.
Yeah, another, yeah.
Play, yeah, yeah, who was misunderstood in a sense, but he really had, you know, a good plan. He was just going about it in a very unorthodox sort of yeah. way.
Yeah, he felt he had no choice. Or kind of like when it came to the character you just mentioned now, Killmonger, like, he had no choice. Where he came from, he had to do what he had to do in order right. to you know, get to a position where he could create that change that he felt was missing. And just, yeah, stuff like that.
Definitely. So you are a 3-time Shine champion. There are some wrestlers who will go their entire career and not be able to hold a strap around their waist at all. What does it take to become a champion, ma'am?
She's like, period.
Okay. I know I may sound redundant, but it's just hard work over everything. Like, even like at first, because the way I first even became a Shine champ, like, at first they didn't really, like, it was even told to me, confided in me, that at first they didn't really have much, you know. Yeah, they knew I came from WWE. I came straight from WWE, but they didn't really know who or what exactly. They just knew I came from WWE. They even put me to lose on my debut. And in my mind, I was like, I don't care. Like, I just want to go out there and give the best performance possible, regardless what I do. Like, yes, it would make sense for me, you know, so I could look strong, etc., for my debut, but that really wasn't my concern. My concern was to just go out there and give the best performance possible, no matter what. And then once after that match, they were like, oh, whoa, hold on. Yeah, she's not just some WWE diva. And then it was like, oh, you know, and every time, that was my goal, every single time, to have match of the night, no matter who I stepped in the ring with, somehow, some way, managed to get match of the night, or the closest thing to. And that's exactly how eventually I was put into the title scenario for the Shine title. And again, it's just a pure example of just hard work over everything. Just hard work. I'm like, I'm gonna just put my entire heart and soul every single time. Eventually, there's just no way to ignore it, and it just happened. And that's just what I've applied to everything that I've done in pro wrestling. And thank God it's been, it's paid off in ways where politics is not so, so much of a influence. And I'm grateful for that. I'm incredibly grateful for that.
So let's talk about you cut this promo on social media a couple weeks ago, and you were draped in gold, it was an amazing amazing promo. It had me like, okay, I need to figure out when this match is and I need to watch it. It didn't happen. So I'm talking about the match that's supposed to be with Diana Bravo. It didn't happen. And apparently she pulled out for personal reasons. But is there a promo that you want to kind of cut now just to make sure that, you know, she doesn't dodge you?
Like the whole weekend I did like a bunch of promos that had to do with that, and but like I really would say the same. I understand the personal reasons that they told me, I completely understand. I am highly confident that she will not leave it like that. She's proven to be a fighting champion in a lot of many different ways, so I'm highly confident that she'll go right back at the first opportunity for us to duke it out. But yeah, it would just be the same. That promo was from the first shot, because it had a lot of emotion behind it. It was like it came from the heart. I feel like that's kind of why it just kind of flowed so easily. But I really feel like the promos that I've been doing lately, because they come from an emotional place and they come from like from the heart, and I've just been able to just at this point I've let go, and I'm just completely, I feel I have absolutely nothing to do, nothing to lose, being myself completely and utterly, allowing myself that complete and utter freedom to just be me entirely in the in any promos. So I feel like I'm having a lot of fun with the promos that I've been having to do lately. So I look forward to many more, and even in the even on Saturday, also like all the stuff that came up that I had to do, that one instance was completely and utterly improvised. You would have never been able to tell that whole section was completely and utterly improv. And after I came back, I was like, man, that felt so natural. That felt so good. Like, I'm just like, it even felt fun. Like, I don't even have to think anymore. I'm just being La Sicaria without any second thought. And I'm loving that. I love that, like, that being comfortable in my skin right now.
Well, in the sense of rumors versus reality, it seems that you are often misunderstood. Why would you think that people misunderstand Ivelisse?
Honestly, I really do feel it has a lot to do. And go ahead, Twitter trolls, take your, I'm sure they're going to try to take whatever they possibly can from this, but I don't care. Again, my higher goal has always been to shed light on anything that could improve women's wrestling in any way, shape, or form. So I do feel that a big reason is, again, just because I'm a female, they feel the freedom to just, you know, pick me apart, etc. It seems to be a trend because it hasn't been just me, it's been other females as well that have. Any female that starts rolling a bunch of steam or whatever, somehow, some way, they want to find a way to bring them down, drag them down or whatever. And it just seems to be something that the media enjoys, or people just enjoy. And I really feel that it's something that needs to be shed light onto it to just like just move on from something like that. And do the opposite, because it is a major problem in society, and it's not just in wrestling, it's in everything. Any female that is like, you know, gunning for something and actually making a difference, or making strides or making changes or anything like that, somehow, some way, they have to find something to kind of try to trample on that or whatever. And I've even had people that I didn't even talk to, that they just see it for themselves, that I've seen them come out talking about it, and I'm like, thank you so much. And it's even a male, so I'm like, that even means that much even more. Like, thank you so much for noticing that and actually speaking the truth about that and saying how ridiculous it is and how it needs to stop. Thank you so much. Like, that means the world. I just hope people open their eyes and just, you know, grow up.
So with that being said, I mean, obviously Stephanie and I are both not wrestlers, but from what I can see, especially when you're, I don't know if you can't really say it's team sports, but you have like locker room etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
Is there like a certain code of locker room etiquette in wrestling that will get you, you know, a certain way? Or is it just kind of like, I guess I'm really asking, is there a way to play the game and you're in it, and are you not playing the game? Or do you think you're not playing the game?
It's, well, unfortunately, the thing is that in the women's side, there's so much improvement that needs to happen, because unfortunately, the like cattiness crap from high school, unfortunately, still happens in women's locker rooms. And the thing is that a lot of males are in positions of power still, and then they just roll their eyes anytime something happens. Like, oh, it's just girls being girls. Oh, it's just girls being girls. Oh, it's just girls being girls. Like, dude, no. No, that clearly nothing will ever change if that's just like the attitude. That's why I feel it's so imperative to put such importance to female veterans, because they're the ones who, first of all, have gone through stuff, have earned the right to be able to impose any kind of, you know, rules to make more order within the environment, not so they can feel powerful or whatever. No, for the improvement of the environment, number one, and for better efficiency out there in the ring, because it does affect out there in the ring, as there's been many instances of examples. And the less it can spill into the ring, the better. Because that's where we never want it to get to the ring. That's why I feel it's so important. That unfortunately there's not that much emphasis and recognition and empowerment to female veterans, because that's the most important and most essential thing that is missing. Because, without that structure is not as solid as can be. And that's what I was trying to fight for, and what I will continue to fight for now that I'm about to turn 18 years of wrestling in September. And I'll keep fighting for that. It's not about feeling powerful anyway. It's just create what the change that needs to happen so that everything that happens in the ring is that much better and stays that way.
So you mentioned all the ways in which women's wrestling can improve in terms of veterans having more of a say, in terms of female veterans. What would you say are some of the positives that you've seen since women's wrestling has evolved the way that it has?
Well, clearly, I would say clearly, like, the opportunities, a lot more opportunities, like, whether it be like intergender stuff, or just like more like time, or more opportunities in terms of like more projects and more stuff that I love, and I am incredibly happy to see those things. That's awesome. It just, the veterans need to be given that, you know, that position so they can help make those opportunities and to just make it that much more impactful, that much more, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how else to like say it.
No, you want people who've been in the game for a long period of time to lead and to lead effectively, so that everybody,
yeah,
that new or old will,
because,
you know,
it does Yes, because it's not just quality either. It's also safety. Like, it's both safety and quality go hand in hand. And it's like, without good leadership, like, quality and safety, which should always be number one, will be compromised. So that's those are like the main things.
So let's turn it a little bit away from wrestling for a hot mm-hmm. second. You became a dog mom. So it speaks to people and their pets. Like I had a dog, and you know, RIP Dribbles, he's long gone, but you know, I still remember, like, he's just amazing. And every interview that I've seen you talk about your dog, like, you just glow. So how's your dog changed your life? And you know, do you feel like, is it he or she?
He.
Do you feel like he's kind of helped you up your wrestling game in any way?
I wouldn't say my wrestling game, but definitely my mental, especially through everything that has happened. He literally, I don't know if it was meant to be or what, but my whole life, I always wanted a dog, but I always said to myself, I'm not going to get him until I can, like, I feel like I am financially stable enough to be able to take care of him properly, et cetera, because I had tried in the past and it didn't work out and it completely tore me apart. Because I absolutely love animals and I love dogs. It's like they're like, you know, family to me in that sense or whatever. So, you know, it came to a moment, I don't know where opportunity that I was told, hey, my friend has huskies. And I'm like, and they told me the price. And I was like, wait, hold on. So everything aligned out of nowhere. And I'm like, I'm not going to let this chance. I'm literally past 30 and I just can't let this opportunity pass. So I went and I just fell in love, and then everything started happening, like a domino, like, you know, the negative stuff. But I'm not going to lie. Like, absolutely everything that's happened, he has been a major key player in my mental health throughout it all. So that's why I kind of feel too that it was kind of meant to be too. Again, I always wanted a dog, and huskies are my dream dog, so it was like my dream dog. So that's another reason why I feel it's been a major key component to my stability, emotional and mental stability throughout all the craziness. And I know it's been a crazy year for everyone because of the pandemic, but you know, add pandemic, fire, it was an accident before the pandemic, so accident, pandemic, fire, my dog's separation anxiety kicked up the roof like crazy, and then crazy, very busy schedule with AEW, so just juggling all of that all together, like, just being able to him, just him being able to be like my baby, mm-hmm. even with his separation anxiety madness. But again, it's almost like a kid, like, you know, it's not gonna be all, you know, roses and rainbows. But it was, you know, it was worth it. It's like my baby. He's like my little baby.
That's beautiful.
So if you could wave a magic wand, take away the politics, like all the stuff that has happened, and you can pick one promotion that you've worked with in the past, what promotion would it be?
You mean like all promotions, like major and small?
Yep.
I would kind of have to say two, because I would have to me in my mind, like, major companies and independent companies are just so such entirely different worlds, mm-hmm. That I would have to say one of each. So if I would say one from the independent side, I would say Shine, because Shine has been that platform that I was able, it was the first and longest platform that has always allowed me to be myself in every way, shape, or form. And that's like the main stage where I've been able to show the world who I am and the caliber of performer that I am. I mean, to the point where when I left WWE, that's them giving me that chance was how I was able to climb the ranks in women's wrestling as a whole, like literally debuting in the top 10, of PWI and et cetera. Like it was like the best year of my career, like at that time and whatever. So I would definitely say that. And I'm still incredibly grateful to Shine for that. And in major companies, I would say, again, like you said, if I had a magic wand and I could erase politics, I would say AEW. AEW, despite the
stuff
misunderstanding, I'm just gonna say, despite the misunderstanding, I was still able to be completely and utterly myself, Ivelisse La Sicaria, and the misunderstandings only happened in the end. So throughout that, even as I was being presented, which, you know, I feel I could, like, I love doing tag team stuff and everything like that, but also I obviously also am a very accomplished singles competitor as well. I was looking forward to it all, anything and everything, to just give my entire all, despite, you know, not being able to show the AEW universe, those other elements of who I am, etc. I still feel like it is the platform that I could best present who La Sicaria is, and everything that has to do with my character, everything that has to do with what I could deliver in every department and everything. So unfortunately, you know, just that misunderstanding. But again, if there was a magic wand, or if there was somehow, some way, some miracle that could happen in life that this misunderstanding could be resolved, I'll say AEW.
Okay. I like it.
Who would you say is your dream opponent?
See, I always kind of get like with that question, because I absolutely love in general the process of the creative process, of coming up with either storylines with or a match, because to me a match is just a storyline within that time frame that we're given. And I love, no matter who I'm across the ring with, it could be a not very known wrestler, it could be a very well known wrestler, it could be a not experienced wrestler, or a very, you know, majorly experienced wrestler, I always see it as a challenge to try to come up with the best story possible, or just that creative process of, okay, La Sicaria, well, how would they, you know, interact with this person or this personality, etc., or with this, you know, just all of those elements. I love all that. So it's really hard for me to say like a dream match, but I would say one that I've always thought about that I feel would be amazing, and would have amazing chemistry, is Asuka, because I feel like we have very similar styles, and I feel like it would be a very like Blue Dragon, Red Dragon type of scenario, and would be incredibly fun to like just let it run wild.
I like that. So now, being in the game for almost like 18 years, we already talked about what you would tell your younger self, but is there, throughout your career, is there anything that you, if you can change, again, bringing out the magic wand, if you can change anything throughout your career, is there one moment or one conversation or one match, is there anything that you would change throughout your career?
That's kind of a hard one. Maybe, see, I can't really see that because, that's kind of, a really hard one.
Yeah, because it's crazy, because if you think about it, it's like, then you start thinking, okay, well, if I change that, then that means everything.
Yeah, else. Yeah, that's
crazy. It would have changed. But
yeah, that's kind of why I would, that's kind of why it's difficult to, like, pinpoint. There's one definitely that I would, in Lucha Underground, when we were going to win the Trios championship, because technically from that point on is when I had a major change in the way I expressed myself, because I had such a hard time having to rebuild myself from the lie cover up that was used, me exiting WWE, to the cover up lie used to cover up the bully that, you know, that came out, whatever, you know, it came out. But no matter what, even if that came out like years later and it was like, oh, well, here's the truth that disproves that was true, clearly it wasn't true, still, no matter that, like, plain fact in everyone's face, it, as you can see, it just never stops. It never stops. And then everything you do or say just gets seen through that lens. And no matter what, you just have this negativity thrown at you and stuff like that. So I was already having a really hard time, like, vocalizing anything in any way. Like, the only way that I found safe to be myself was in the ring. Outside of that, I had a hard time expressing myself, because, again, anything could be, or, you know, will be held against you, and, like, you know, against this lie that everyone, you know, was believing and feeding into, etc. So once that injury happened where I broke my ankle, and it was because I was so excited or whatever at that time that we were going to win the championship and everything, and because I was so excited that everything was starting to finally pay off and everything was starting to get into a positive note for me, because I had put so much work in the indies, like I said, trying to disprove that, and, you know, just showing that it was a mistake, you know, in that sense, the lie, the attitude crap, and also the sense that, yes, I knew I was worthy in terms of, like, my talent, etc., as well. So I had put so much work in the indie to become one of the best in the U.S., etc., in the women's world and everything. So here we are, Lucha Underground, and I started off doing the manager stuff. But again, like I said, like I did, just like I did in Shine, I just, whatever is being thrown at me, I'm just going to give the utmost best. So they slowly started seeing, okay, you know, she really is one of the best, you know, etc. And finally, you know, there's that moment, I'm like, okay, great, finally a payoff. So I felt like I didn't really express myself in terms of when I don't feel comfortable with something, like just being pressured if I didn't feel comfortable with it. So that's kind of how the injury came up. Before that match, and per se, they asked, hey, can you guys do a triple dive type scenario, whatever. But at that time, I didn't really have anything super special, much less that would look equally amazing as these, like, you know, flippy guys. And we only had a certain amount of time. So I just kind of like, man, you know, they want this, like, triple dive, man, that would be awesome. So I was just kind of like scurrying, and there wasn't really enough time to even, like, practice it, etc. And I just kind of scurried to try to do that and ended up breaking my ankle before, you know, even the match happened. And then that's why from that point on, I absolutely just do not jeopardize safety in any way, shape, or form. And if I do, I just try to make sure that, you know, I cover, like, every angle possible, and still even with that, accidents are still possible, but I just always make it a point. If a person is just not comfortable, look, if they're not comfortable, just don't. Just do something more simple or something else or something or like, or, you know, just stuff like that. But in terms of like vocalizing, if something doesn't feel comfortable and it jeopardizes safety, et cetera, not just for myself, but for someone else as well or anything like that. But that's one thing I would change. I would definitely say maybe no, or definitely not try to fit this, you know, try to fit something that just doesn't at the moment. Maybe if I had more time, it wouldn't have been such a big issue, but just being able to vocalize more solidly if something just doesn't fit and it doesn't jeopardize safety.
Yeah. I wish that, like, again, if I could do the magic wand, whatever the transpired with Lucha, and I know there was like other stuff that's happened with, you know, the wrestlers and all that stuff, but like that was such a great show. Like, I really wish the politics and the BS and everything that transpired, because obviously it's not around. I don't know, they could reverse the hands of time and just make whoever was making the bad decisions make the right decisions. That was just such a great concept.
And the only reason I didn't say Lucha Underground, because otherwise I probably would have said Lucha Underground earlier for the earlier question, it was because it technically wasn't really a company. It was a show.
Right.
Like, it wasn't. Yeah.
It was just.
I would have hoped that it would have become a company eventually, but yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Well, who knows? Maybe one day it'll get, you know, rebooted, since they have a tendency to reboot things. Maybe one day it'll get rebooted and the person who wants to reboot it will make it a legitimate thing. You never know what happens.
Yeah, they're trying to reboot it now with the Aztec Underground, something like that, in MLW. So we'll see.
Okay. Well, what's next for Ivelisse?
I don't even know. Honestly, I've gotten to a point where I'm just grateful for life, number one. And every single day, grateful for life. And I just am in the understanding that whatever comes my way. I'm going to continue being myself and, you know, just pushing for, you know, betterment, and just whatever's meant for me is meant for me. You know, that's just kind of like how I see it. And I'm completely open. I'm completely open to all opportunities that knock my door and revise them as they come. Right now, from what's already set in stone, I'm Ladies Night Out champion, Shine champion, SW, you know. So I'm definitely looking forward to continue to give my best as much as possible, do what I can as their champions, and whatever else other things come my way, I'm open arms, let's explore, and again, my best, hard work over everything.
Dripping in gold, man, I tell you. So we're going to move on to Rapid Hot Tags.
Women's Wrestling Talk. Rapid Hot Tags.
Rapid Hot Tags is when I'm going to ask you a question. You say the first thing that comes to your mind. You ready?
I don't know. I'm just like putting that close.
I'm asking. It's painless. So the first question is, who's your favorite artist of all time?
Wait, what type of artist?
Music artist.
Oh, right now, the first one that came to my mind is Snow the Prodigy.
Oh my God, ooh, yes.
Yes.
Yes, she has, she's everything. What is your favorite body part to work on?
Arm.
What's your favorite show to binge watch?
Man, it used to be Friends. But it's not on no more. Netflix, how dare you? the one that I ended up being binge watching for like a good amount of time was Gordon Ramsay.
Oh, wow.
Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Your house containing everything you own catches on fire. After saving your loved ones, your pets, you have time to make one final dash to save one other item. What would it be?
Man, hold on. I'm trying to think, because that happened in real life. So I'm trying to think what did I go back? Well, first of all, my cell phone.
So I had to call
my you know, partner. Hey, you know, things are going up in flames here. But aside from like a phone, okay, I grabbed clearly Aries with me. Then I went to get my phone. I went to go get my documents.
That's a good one.
I don't know. This is hard because I think that was it. They just didn't let me go back in. They wouldn't let me. Yeah.
But the most important stuff. So that's a good one.
I know it's a really boring answer, but.
No, that's the, I feel like one day I'm going to put into the universe that we're going to get an Apple sponsorship because I just started using Apple products. I still have my Samsung phone. But I love the fact that everything is kind of streamlined. So even if you didn't get your phone, if you want to grab your laptop, you still have everything on your phone. So it's just like, shout out to Apple for doing stuff like that. If you were able to live to the age of 90 and retain either the mind or body of a 30-year-old for the last 60 years of your life, which one would you choose?
The mind or the body of a 30-year-old? Mm-hmm. Which one would I pick to keep when I'm 90?
Yes.
I would say the body because I would want to keep that 90 mindset. I have all that wealth of knowledge and a fresh body to keep producing results with.
That part. Last question, if you had a superpower, what would it be?
Flying. I know that one always. I love flying.
So that marks the end of our rapid hot tags. And now
I thought I would be terrible, like way more terrible.
No, you were great.
So also what we do in the show is we have a panel question, and Evalisa decided to join us for this panel question. So I really like these questions because it just lets the audience get to know, you know, us as hosts. So Evalisa is no longer a guest. She's now part of the hosting crew now. It gets for folks who are watching us, gets to know us a little bit as hosts. So the panel question is, if you can pick someone to be your tag team partner, who would it be and why?
Well, aside from my already previous tag team partners, Mercedes and Diamante, I would say Miranda Alizé because we never have been able to do that. She's been a part of Las Sicarias for a good amount of time, and we've never had the chance to do that. I feel like that should happen. I would say that.
Okay. Stephanie?
Well, I would say if I were to choose a tag team partner, it would have to be Sasha Banks. Ooh, because to me, she's the GOAT of women's wrestling. Like, she's just an all-around, you know, great wrestler. She has... and then on top of her singles career, she has really great chemistry with her tag team partners. So if it's somebody that I would want to tag with, it would have to be her because she has the mindset for all of it collectively. And she's just the GOAT to me. So Sasha Banks would have to be my dream tag team partner.
It's so funny. Like when I make up these questions, I already think like I have my answer. But then when I like ask the question, my answer changes because Sasha Banks was one of my answers. But
that's a good option.
I know, right? I want to say Jazz. And the reason why I say Jazz is that she also has done the show and she cut this one promo. This is right.
Jazz is awesome.
Yeah, she cut this one promo. And this one, she's still NWA champion. And it literally just gave me goosebumps. And I feel, and you know, she's on her retirement tour and everything like that. But I feel like she just has the wealth of knowledge. She's a badass. And I just feel like I don't have to do much work. Like I just kind of go in, and, you know, then I'll just tag her. And it's like, all right, she has.
And whatever you say, yes.
Oh my goodness.
She'll be able to figure it all out. So yeah, I feel like Jazz. And then
hopefully I can convince her. One more match.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Why don't you say it right now? We can post it on Twitter, and you know, we so
I've been bugging her.
She's trying to manifest it.
Dora, she did something. We did an interview with her, and she talked about it, and then that match was booked. So mm-hmm. I'm just saying, maybe our show has a little. You've been poking her. But maybe our show has a little magic powers that. Because I mean, I feel like she is retiring. Well, I don't think she's retiring. If that makes sense. Like, I feel like we're not gonna see the last of her.
I feel it will happen. I feel it will happen.
Yeah, so let's put that in the universe for sure. But yes. Thank you.
Let's send out the vibes.
Positive vibes. Thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find you and all that good stuff?
People can find, I don't have I know there's like a million gazillion apps now, but I'm going to keep it. I'm going to keep it to the basic main. Twitter, my handle and Twitter is @RealEvilise. And IG, my handle is @EvaliseVelez. And also Patreon. Patreon.com, Evilise. And that's pretty much it. Like, I don't plan on getting on no, definitely never, absolutely never OnlyFans. but yeah, no, nothing else. No Twitch.
Work. TikTok and Snapchat and IG.
Oh, I do have TikTok. I do have TikTok. But I don't, I'm barely, like, it's once in a blue moon, so that's why I don't really, like.
Right.
Yeah, I do
for a job. It's crazy.
I don't get on Twitch because again, like I don't want to like do more accounts, like just like more madness. But thankfully, IG is doing this thing called badges with the IG lives, and like Twitter is getting on something else with like ticketed spaces and stuff like that. So whatever other stuff, basic, you know, IG and Twitter will get, then that's where I'll be on to, you know, with more interactive stuff.
And Miss Stephanie, where can everybody find you?
Well, you can follow me, your girl Stephanie Hardy, at Hardy Wrestling Podcast on Instagram and on Twitter at Hardy Wrestle Pod. That's HARDY like the Hardy Boys.
There it is. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Thank you, Evilise, for joining us. You're watching us on Fight TV, and we'll be on Fight TV every other Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. So make sure to check that out. But you can also check out our social media at WWTalkPod, all social media accounts. Definitely go and check out our YouTube page. Those interviews I was telling you about with Evilise, they're up there, as well as a lot of other interviews from like four years worth of interviews. It's all there, so go and check that out. My name is TK Trinidad, so you can follow me on everything at TK Trinidad. Again, thank you guys so much for joining us. Thank you, Evilise, for joining us. And until next time,
thank you.
Ciao.
1 Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet. My name is Katrina Blake. Thank you for watching Women's Wrestling Talk News Edition. We have so much to talk about, so let's get right to it. On August 5th, 2021, Mickie James came out to announce on an episode of Impact that Melina Perez will be challenging Deonna Purrazzo for the Knockouts Championship at NWA Empower in St. Louis on August 28th. Now, Melina has been part of NWA since November 19, 2019, having various matches and serving as Thunder Rosa's manager. However, before August 28th, Melina will be making her Impact in-ring wrestling debut on the episode of Impact on August 19, 2021. In an exclusive interview with Digital Spy, Zelina Vega said she returned to WWE because she felt that she had unfinished business with WWE. Now, Zelina Vega was let go in 2020 during the Thunderdome era. However, 8 months later, she returned back to WWE, still going on the Thunderdome era. She was able to experience the live audience at Money in the Bank when she made her appearance or re-return in the Money in the Bank women's match.
Now, Zelina said she's been looking forward to going after the SmackDown Women's title. She feels that's where her energies will be focused on. And she doesn't know if it's going to be Sasha Banks who will be champion at that time or will it be Bianca Belair. But she is ready to take on either one of them and become SmackDown Women's champion. Now, I left all three women, so let's see what WWE decides to do with the three of them. In July 2021, Kiara Hogan announced that she was officially done with Impact. She had done some tapings, last one being in Nashville, and she decided that she will be a free agent. Now, Kiara Hogan has been a two-time Knockouts Tag Team Champion with Tossa Steels in their tag team, Fire and Flavor. Kiara Hogan made her AEW debut at AEW Dark Elevation on Monday, August 16th. Kiara Hogan went against Hikaru Shida. Kiara did lose the match, but as she is a free agent now, I am interested to see if AEW will sign her or she'll end up at some other wrestling promotion. On August 14th, 2021, Deonna Purrazzo went against Fabi Apache in the Triple H Triple Mania 29. This is a champion versus championship match with Deonna putting her Knockouts championship on the line and Fabi putting her Reina de Reinas championship on the line. Deonna Purrazzo wound up being victorious, adding two belts to her collection. She has had an impressive run since leaving WWE, and now she is the Knockouts champion as well as the Reina de Reinas championship currently. Now, Deonna Purrazzo will be going against Melina at NWA's Empower on August 28th, as I mentioned earlier. So I am excited to see what else Deonna Purrazzo will do on this impressive run. That wraps up Women's Wrestling Talk News Edition. Thank you for following along. Please remember to follow us on social media at WWTalkPod. Also, check out our website at WWTalkPod.com. You can find me on NCatWeTrust on Facebook and YouTube. You can also find me on Instagram and Twitter at NCatWeTrust, the E being a 3. Thank you for watching Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet.
The number one women's wrestling show on the planet.